Jews are not accustomed to mingling with Gentiles or with foreign nations. In fact, Chazal actually discourage us from doing so. Hence the halachot of Pat Akum, of Yayin Nesech, Gzeira of Chasanot. There are certain boundaries that Chazal encouraged us to maintain in order that we maintain a distance from the Gentiles and foreign nations. It is rare, if ever, that we find or meet Gentiles who Jews see positively. And we are habitually, when we meet Gentiles, we have a sense of suspicion, perhaps even caution. This may be fair, the fact that we have been always a nation who has been persecuted for many generations. Classically, we have been downtrodden, and therefore it is natural that we adopt this sense of caution and awareness. Nonetheless, an exception to this rule, I would have to say, is Yitro. In fact, he probably is the first and foremost exception that the Torah introduces us to. Yitro seems to be someone of outstanding character. In fact, I would venture to say that the Torah clearly saw Yitro and aspects of his attributes and personality and characteristics that we too, as Jewish people, should and even must adopt to become part of our nation. If we look at the beginning of the parsha of Yitro, the Torah says as follows in Perek Yudchet Psukim Aleph through Vav. And I'd like to point out a number of ideas as we follow in the context of the Psukim themselves, where clearly I would think that the Torah reveals through its vernacular, its usages, its Lashon, two outstanding lessons that are vital to our existence and that are clearly at least reminded to us by Yitro himself. The Torah begins, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe et kol asher asa Elokim leMoshe uliYisrael Amo. When the Torah first introduces Yitro, it entitles him as Kohen Midyan first, the priest of Midyan, and then Choten Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe. But first and foremost, he is introduced to us as a foreign priest, one of a foreign and strange religion. Ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael mimitzrayim. Vayishma Yitro. Yitro hears of what? Of the particular event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Zvachim has an extended machloket argument by many different rabbinical opinions as to Ezo Shmua Shama. What exactly did Yitro hear that would incite and encourage his path towards understanding and appreciating the Jewish people? And the Gemara offers a number of possibilities. Melchemet Amalek, the victory of Bnei Yisrael over the Amalekite nation. Could be Kriyat Yamsuf, the parting of the Red Sea. Matan Torah. But the truth is, the Torah tells us explicitly what he hears about is Ki Otzi Hashem et Yisrael mimitzrayim. He hears about the fact that Bnei Yisrael have been taken and redeemed out of Egypt. Says Rashi, sensitive apparently to this fact, Ki otzi Hashem zo gdula al kulam. The events of Yitziat Mitzrayim are exodus from Egypt. That in itself was the greatest display, was the greatest monumental event by which Yitro clearly succumbed and recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meloch Ol Haaretz Kvodo. So while Yitro may have very well been aware and sensitive to many events that transpired, he recognized that the beginning of everything, that the heart of the Jewish nation pulsated according to the fact that they came out of Mitzrayim. The Torah continues, Vayikach Yitro Choten Moshe Et Tzipora Eshet Moshe Achar Shilochea. Yitro now takes, and by the way, interestingly enough, Yitro is now referred to as Choten Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law. He is no longer called Kohen Midian. We are past that. He is now referred to as the father-in-law of Moshe. And who does he take? Tzipora, who is known as Moshe's wife. Ve'et shnei banea asher shema echad Gershom v'shema echad Eliezer. He takes two of her children, Tzipora's children, which by the way in itself is very strange. Why does the Torah, when it refers to the fact that Yitro takes Tzipora, it calls her Eshet Moshe? Rightfully so. She is Moshe's wife. But when the Torah continues and tells us that he also gathered the two children of Moshe, the Torah does not refer to these children as Moshe's children, but rather as Shnei Baneha, the two children, the two sons of Tzipora. And the Torah explains to us their names. Gershom, ki amar ger hayiti be'eretz nochriya. Gershom, knowing its derivative from the word ger, Moshe says he was a stranger in a strange land in Mitzrayim. V'shema echad Eliezer, ki elokei avi be'ezri v'aitzileini mecherev paro. The second being Eliezer, coming from the word ezer, la'azor, someone who received assistance. Moshe was saved from the house of Paro by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, Pasuk Hey, Vayavo Yitro Choten Moshe Uvanav V'ishto El Moshe. Yitro comes. Yitro arrives in front of his son-in-law Moshe. And again, the Torah refers to Yitro here exclusively as Choten Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law. What is going on here in the context of these psukim? And I'd like to offer the following interpretation. The Torah wants us to recognize that Yitro really maintains two outstanding characteristics. The first is that Yitro is a progressive activist. What Yitro perceives as being correct, he does not merely stand as a bystander, but he will actively ensure that something is done as a result of what he sees to be a principle. And therefore the Torah emphasizes to us a progression of how Yitro behaves. Vayishma Yitro, Yitro hears. Vayikach Yitro, Yitro takes. Vayavo Yitro, Yitro doesn't only hear, Yitro doesn't only take as a result of hearing, but Yitro arrives. He comes. He steps forward. Yitro is someone who wants to be involved, which leads us to the second attribute of who he is. Yitro clearly understands and respects the concept that man must be a part of building history. Yitro understands that Klal Yisrael were not redeemed from Egypt for naught. They were redeemed from Egypt in order to fulfill a mission, in order to ensure a future, and in order to attach to it building of a history. And therefore, at the beginning the Torah calls Yitro Kohen Midian, the priest, the foreigner, and then the father-in-law of Moshe. But when the Torah confirms that Yitro recognizes the Almighty in having taken Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Gdola al Kulam, the greatest feat that would sign the fate and future of the greatest nation to exhibit holiness, Kedusha, in this world, then the Torah, when it continues to refer to him, no longer refers to him as the priest of Midian. That's in the past. That is not how he wants to be remembered. That is not who he is. Now the Torah refers to him as, yes, someone who recognizes destiny, someone who wants to be inscribed with purpose. And what is his purpose? He is called Choten Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law, because that is precisely who he is. He recognizes that the future and the shape of the world and all civilization will be formed by the Jewish people, by the Jewish nation, by their leader, none other than his son-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu. And interestingly enough, Yitro is with Tzipporah, his daughter, and his two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. And let's be honest, says Yitro to himself, my grandchildren, Gershom and Eliezer, who are named after the history of their father, who are named by their father to remember who they are, where they come from, and where they are destined to go, says Yitro to himself, my grandchildren really do not know who their father is. They do not really have a relationship, a connection, a rapport with the great leader of the Jewish people, my son-in-law Moshe. And therefore, it could be possible that the Torah refers to Tzipporah as Eshet Moshe. Yes, says Yitro, she has a relationship with Moshe. She recognized his greatness because she was around him. She clearly was his wife and is his wife. However, the boys, Gershom and Eliezer, do they really appreciate and understand what it is to have a father like Moshe? Have they been exposed enough to his character to be able to learn and to be able to ingest and inculcate the attributes of a Moshe Rabbeinu so that they too can assume a certain mantle of leadership? Says Yitro, no. And that is why when the Torah refers to these two boys, Gershom and Eliezer, it calls them Shnei Banea. Yes, they are the sons of Tzipporah, but they are not called Shnei Banim Shel Moshe or Bnei Moshe. Why? Because they haven't been around their father. They don't appreciate who Moshe is because they haven't had that exposure. And therefore Yitro acts. Yitro says, what a shanda, what a terrible wasted opportunity it would be to have two children who can learn and appreciate from their father Moshe, and they are not around him. They do not know who he is. And therefore Yitro reacts. Vayavo Yitro Chotein Moshe Ubanav V'ishto El Moshe. Yitro says, it is inexcusable, it is unacceptable. My grandchildren, my children, I want them to be a part of history, to clearly connect and be a part of the great story of the Jewish people, the greatest nation on the earth. And therefore, again, the Torah here refers to Yitro as Choten Moshe exclusively. He is Moshe's father-in-law. That is his role, that is his understanding, and that is who he appreciates he is supposed to be. Moshe Rabbeinu also understood who he was, where he comes from, and the importance of transmitting this legacy to his children as well. The Meshech Chachma points out that Moshe called his first child Gershom. Ger hayiti be'eretz nochria. Why did he call his first child Gershom after being a stranger in a strange land? Says the Meshech Chachma of Meir Simcha Medvinsk, Moshe was making a statement. He was telling the Jewish people, understand my friends, that I have never felt comfortable in the lap of luxury, in the palace, in the royalty, of Paro and of Egypt. Regardless of the fact that I was a prince, I always felt strange there. I never felt a connection. I always felt that I belonged somewhere else. Moshe was someone who longed for an identity, as was his father-in-law Yitro. And in fact, Moshe makes a statement. Eliezer is second. Moshe says, I only felt peace when I was united with Am Yisrael and when I felt that I was part of the mission of heading with the Jewish nation towards Eretz Yisrael. At that point, Moshe understands and transmits a message to his children and to all of Am Yisrael, the importance of being a part of writing history and writing a future. Yitro reminds Moshe of who he is, and he reminds Moshe's family of this vital mission to be a part of the Jewish future. It's interesting because unfortunately we see, and I was just invited recently to lecture in a number of universities throughout the United Kingdom. Classically in the universities, not only in Europe, but also of course in the United States, you come across, unfortunately, Jewish student unions who are really disassociated, who have no appreciation of who they are, of what their nation represents, and certainly what Eretz Yisrael means to the survival of the Jewish nation. There was an Israeli professor, I read about this about a year ago, an Israeli visiting professor in Bard College in the United States, and he describes how discussing programming for the Jewish students at Bard College, a Jewish student activist rejected the proposition that Israel be integrated to Jewish student organization activities. Said this student, and he quotes him, "It is too controversial and has nothing to do with Judaism. And there are Jewish students who would object to such an agenda. Therefore," says the student, "we think that Israel programming should fall into the hands of a Jewish pro-Israel group, separate from the Jewish student organization. Israel has nothing to do with the Jewish student organization." And the Israeli professor asked, "What do we learn from this rather telling exchange?" "What I learn," he says, "is there is no Judaism without Zionism. A Jewish student organization that can exclude Israel from its programming ignores an important part of the Jewish mission. What has made people think otherwise, abandoning the rigors of Zionist theory in favor of the flaccid pro-Israel propaganda, no Torah, just tourism, has deprived us of an intellectual foundation for our pro-Israelism, which makes sense only as the realization of Zionism in the here and now. Zionism speaks in imperatives, much like Yitro spoke as well, Vayishma, Vayikach, Vayavo, or else all of the Israeli and Jewish nation falls silent. The politics of the day preoccupy us. Issues of theory, Jewish philosophy, and Judaic theology intimidate us. But we pay a heavy price for ignoring Zionism, religious Zionism, and the agenda of Torah in Eretz Yisrael as a philosophy of Jewish existence as an integral component of the religion Judaism. Ignoring Zionism as a philosophy and theology, we seem to have raised a generation of campus Moranos," says this professor, "glad to enjoy the benefits of an age and a world graced by the Jewish state, but reluctant to identify with the Jewish state as the enterprise of the entire Jewish people." Perhaps sometimes, Rabotai, it takes a Yitro to reinforce us and reinvigorate an awakening amongst the Jewish people. Let us not forget who we are. where we come from, and that the purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim, Shigdola Mikulam, was clearly so that we understand who we are and where we are supposed to be headed to Arzenu HaKdosha, Eretz Yisrael. When my children ask me, and they have in the past and they continue in the future to ask me, why we live in Eretz Yisrael, a question that all of us ponder at times in the face of all of the tragedy, obstructions, and obstacles that exist every day to live in this wonderful country, as strange as it is. My response to them is, my dears, I am not interested in reading about Jewish history. I am interested in creating Jewish history. It would do well for all of us in these trying times to stay focused on who we are and how we got here, even if those reminders have to arrive to us sometimes from what we would seem to call unexpected sources. Chazak ve'ematz, chazak la'am Yisrael, le'eretz Yisrael, and Shabbat Shalom.